All right, you might be asking yourself, how did you get Cliff to say all those nice things about you? The truth is that I pay him. Usually money, gift cards, gold watches, car keys, those types of things. But anyway, my name is Brad. I usually hang out with the students. I'm the student pastor here, but every once in a while, they let me out into the sanctuary. So I feel privileged to have an opportunity to share with you guys today. Now, we're in the middle of this series called The Me I Want to Be. And before I get too far into that, here's something that I believe. I believe that somewhere in our making, when God is forming us in our mother's womb, I think that somewhere in that process, he puts something in us that makes us a worshiper. And the truth is this, is that I think we're all worshipers of something. We're either worshiping something or somebody. Maybe it's our job. Maybe it could be money. Maybe it's a person. I do work with high schoolers, and specifically high school girls, and a lot of them are worshipers of somebody. You can take Justin Bieber, for instance. He's a cute little girl, right? But we all just lost the attention of every high school girl in the sanctuary this morning. But the truth is that we all choose to worship something. It's up to us. It's how we're designed. It's in our DNA. It's deep down in our soul. And I think in the same way, the me that God wants us to be, okay, or the me that I want to be, is the same me that God intended us to be. One of those things that I think that keeps us from being the me that I want to be and the me that God has created us to be is bitterness. And we're going to spend some time today kind of taking a look at bitterness. But before I get too far, I felt like I should share a little bit of a story of bitterness in my life. As of this morning, about 3 o'clock in the morning, you guys know that my wife is about 37, 38 weeks pregnant. And I woke up about 3 o'clock in the morning to what I felt like was firecrackers going off outside my window. It wasn't. It was my wife, because, you know, like when you get pregnant, it's the belly and stuff, and then everything gets squished around, and then so there's a smaller stomach and she can't eat as much. So it was her unwrapping a Nature Valley bar. And it was the loudest thing I'd heard in a long time. And so me being the holy husband I am, just took a deep breath and laid there and listened to the crinkling, and it stopped. And I was like, great, I'm fine. I can go back to sleep now. I'll get a good night's rest before I need to come in and speak to the whole church today, right? And just as I was about to doze back off to sleep, I heard some loud crunching happening as well. And I turned over nicely and I said, honey, is there anything you need? And she said, no, I'm really sorry, I'm fine. And I told her, I go, well, I just got my opening story for my bitterness sermon this morning. I was a little bit bitter that didn't she know that I had to preach this morning to everybody? Didn't she know that I had something important to go on? But anyway, we'll keep moving. We are most likely to become bitter against people that we love the most. Okay, for instance, we our parents. All right, maybe children, maybe family members. We're most likely to become bitter against the people we love the most. Maybe it's your spouse. Maybe it's even a ministry leader here at church. And it could even be, we could cause or grow up some bitterness towards God. See, if we're not careful, bitterness becomes part of our identity. You're kind of known as the bitter person, or that person's known as the bitter person. Some characteristics of bitter people, all right? Bitter people tend to be people that can't move on, okay? They're stuck in one spot, and they can't get out of that. They keep a record of wrongs, and they're obsessed about it, all right? A bitter person could probably go back and tell you exactly the day it happened, the time it was, what the weather was like outside, the day of the week, what you were wearing, okay? They're obsessed about it. They can't get out of being bitter. So here's the question. How do people become bitter or hurt? How do they become bitter or hurt? Here's five ways that I believe people become bitter or hurt. Five ways people become bitter or hurt. The first one is this, is that they wrongly think they've been sinned against. Okay? They wrongly think they've been sinned against. See, bitter people tend to be kind of like archaeologists, right? They're always digging up the past, all right? They can't let go of things. They're always talking about how it used to be or how it was, and they're digging up the past. There's a story of two brothers that owned a family business together. And the one brother came to the other brother and said, "You stole from me." And the business split apart. The family split apart. The brothers didn't talk to each other. The brother accused the other brother of stealing from him. Time goes by, and the brothers come back down together and sit to try to work this out. He says, what are you bitter at? And he says, "You stole from me." And another brother sat on the other side of the table and said, "I didn't steal from you." So some more time goes by, and it comes to find out that the brother hadn't stolen from him. And what had happened was that there was someone else in the business that had been the person that was stealing the money. See, he wrongly thought that his brother had sinned against him, and it caused bitterness in his life. The second reason is this: how do people become bitter or hurt? Is that there's unreasonable or there's some unspoken expectations that were or weren't met, right? There's some unreasonable or unspoken expectations. What do I mean by this? For you that work underneath somebody that has a boss, okay? If your boss ever comes to you and is upset because you didn't do something, but they never explained it to you, okay? It was unreasonable or it was unspoken expectations. A lot of times this happens with children and parents, right? Children feel like, "Well, you never told me that," or "It's never got done right," and the parent feels like, "You can never do anything right," and so there's unspoken or unreasonable expectations. A lot of times this happens around work. The third reason is this: people become hurt or bitter because you've been rebuked or you became hard-hearted. You've been rebuked or you become hard-hearted. Okay, the truth is this, is that no one really likes to be corrected, right? No one likes to be told they're wrong. And sometimes when we're told we're wrong or we're being corrected, that we become bitter at the situation. The truth is this, that Jesus teaches us to go to that person, right? To go to that person that's wronged us or felt like they've done something that's incorrect, and to go and to have a conversation with them. You've been rebuked or you become hard-hearted. No one really likes to be corrected. Reason number four is this, is that you are jealous of them. You've just become jealous. And so because of your jealousy, you become bitter. Now, this is the one that I probably struggle with the most, is jealousy, mainly out of material things, right? Or what I do or don't have that someone else might have. It happens a lot in families, okay? Siblings, right? Like that sibling went to this college, or your brother or sister got that job and you wish you could have that job to earn that money, okay? Or have that lifestyle. And for me, it could be really easy for me and my brother. My brother, I'm the oldest, right? So that means I'm the smartest, and I'm the best looking, and I'm the smartest, right? And it'd be really easy for me to be bitter or be jealous of my brother because he has a different lifestyle, right? He's a professional athlete, right? He gets to travel around the U.S. and go to different cities and play soccer for a living and get paid nice money for it, right? It'd be really easy for me to be jealous of that. Another way in my life right now that I feel like it could be really jealous is me and my wife are looking for a new house. Okay, we're looking for a new place to live, and we have some friends that are going through the same life stage as us. They've found a house, and they're looking for a new place to live, and it'd be really easy for us to be jealous of them when they get that house that they've gotten, right? And feel like, why can't that be me? Jealousy. One thing that I am legitimately jealous of and maybe a little bit bitter about is for those of you that aren't allergic to the yellow pollen that has rained down outside this past week. I have pretty bad allergies, and I'm pretty doped up on some Allegra and Benadryl this morning. So, but I am jealous of you about that, just in case you cared. Okay. So the first four things, okay, I told you there's five. The first four, if you're bitter because of any of those reasons, because you think someone's wrongly sinned against you, because there's some unreasonable expectations in your life, you become hard-hearted because someone's corrected you, or just because you're jealous, the truth is this, and it's kind of tough to hear this morning, but you're in sin, okay? If you're bitter because of any of those first four reasons this morning, you're in sin. Now, the fifth one's a little bit different, and we're going to talk about it. Spend a little bit of time on it this morning. People become bitter or hurt because you have been sinned against. Okay? People become bitter or hurt because they have been sinned against. The sin of someone else has led you to become bitter. Now, just because you've been sinned against, I don't want to give you an excuse that it's okay to go sin back against that person. Okay, we don't repay evil with evil. We don't repay a sin with a sin. Ultimately, you're responsible for your sin, or they're responsible for their sin, and you're responsible for your own bitterness, right? Like I said, the pollen is out. The spring has come out lately this past week. I feel like everything in my yard just turned green overnight in this past week, and you know, with that, the grass starts to grow, right? And so I haven't cut the grass yet this year, and so my grass is probably like, you know, a foot high right now. And if any of you guys feel really holy this week, feel free to come by and cut my grass if you'd like. But when the grass starts to grow up, along with the grass at my house, because it's not a super nice yard, I get weeds in my yard. And I get weeds not just in my yard, but I get them in my patio. Sometimes I get them in my driveway. And I've come up with a few different brilliant ways to try to deal with these weeds, okay? The first one is this, is that I'll come up, and if I see a weed on the ground, I'll go by and I'll kick it, you know, try to stomp it out, try to just make sure it like bends over, and then it just kind of dies, right? The other way that I figured out how to kill some of these weeds is to go power up my gas weed whacker and feel real manly with some power tools and chop them all down. And then the third way is this, is to come up with some man-made chemical from the store and to spray the weeds and to watch them die along with everything else around them die as well. And the truth is this, is if you know anything about gardening or weeds or lawn care, is that the best way to get rid of those weeds isn't to kick them over, okay, isn't to hit them with a weed whacker, and it's not to spray them with some sort of chemical that kills everything else around it. It's to take a shovel to them, to dig out the roots, and to pull the weed out. That's ultimately the most effective way to get rid of those weeds. Now, I think some of us have been trying to deal with bitterness in the same way. We've been going about it the wrong way. Some things that maybe in the short term work really well, but it keeps creeping back in. It keeps coming back. Maybe you've tried to trample out your bitterness in a figurative way. Maybe you've even tried to cut ties with the people that have made you bitter, but it still comes back, okay? Maybe you even come up with your own man-made ways to deal with your bitterness. Maybe you've read a self-help book. Maybe you've done some Eastern meditation or watched Dr. Phil or Oprah on TV to help you with your problem. And the truth is this, is that the only real way to get rid of that bitterness is to take a shovel to it and dig out the roots. We'll take a look at Hebrews real fast. Hebrews 12:15 says this, "Make every effort to live in peace with all men and to be holy. Without holiness, no one will see the Lord. See to it that no one misses the grace of God and that no bitter root grows up to cause trouble and defile many." See to it that no one misses the grace of God and that no bitter root grows up to cause trouble and defile many. You see, the root of bitterness grows in the soil of hurt that's not dealt with biblically. The root of bitterness grows in the soil of hurt. See, when we become bitter, we need to take a shovel to the root to get rid of it. That shovel is forgiveness. The shovel is forgiveness. So that brings me to the bottom line, part of the bottom line that we're going to talk about, your tweetable, your Facebook status moment for the morning, and it's this, is that hurt people hurt people. Now, you've probably heard this before, maybe on TV, maybe in church around here, that hurt people hurt people. And I think it's true, okay? This one part of what we're going to talk about this morning. But I think it becomes, if we're not careful, an excuse for how we live. That we write people off because we say, well, they've been hurt by somebody, or somebody's hurt them, or they just get hurt, okay? And so because of that, something that's happened in their past, they just hurt everybody else. And I think if we're not careful, we just kind of push those people aside and leave them to the side and say, they're just a hurt person, and that's how we leave it. And I think it's a little bit more than that. I think sometimes maybe they don't always know they're hurting people. But think about when I made that comment, hurt people hurt people, who came to your mind? Who came to your mind as someone that has been hurt and then tends to hurt other people? Think about that for a second. Who is that person? And as you're doing that, I'm going to ask you to open your Bibles. We're going to be in Ephesians today, spending some time talking about the letter that Paul writes us. And we're going to be in chapter 4, and we'll start in verse 25. This is what it says. Therefore, having put away falsehood, let each one of you speak the truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Be angry and do not sin. Don't let the sun go down on your anger and give no opportunity to the devil. Let the thief no longer steal, but rather let him labor, doing honest work with his own hands so that he may have something to share with anyone in need. Let no corrupting talk come out of your mouths, but only such as is good for building up as fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear. You see, in this passage here that Paul writes us, we get kind of some warnings. Okay, he's going to warn us. I'm going to pick out three warnings that Paul gives us for us as bitter believers. Here's the first one. I think Paul warns us to say, watch your mouth. He says, watch your mouth. Verse 25 says this, let each one of you speak the truth with his neighbor. See, when we're hurt, we're prone to leak. When we're hurt, we feel like we need maybe to let go of it or to share it with other people. We call that gossip, right? We gossip, and we all know that gossip is wrong. We don't like people to gossip about us, but gossip is this. Gossip is when we talk about people, but we don't talk with them. It's when we talk about people, but we don't talk with them. And we feel justified for criticizing other people. That's gossip. Take a look at Proverbs 26. It says this, without wood, a fire goes out. Without a gossip, quarrel dies down. Without wood, a fire goes out, but without gossip, a quarrel dies down. I think now, today, more than ever, gossip is easier to do than ever, okay? Through social media, things like Facebook posts, things like Twitter, people's blogs, maybe text messaging, or maybe email, and I think mistakenly we say we're venting, right? That I just need to vent. And the truth is that you're not really venting, you're gossiping, right? And sitting in your seat right now, you may be thinking, but I can't talk about it, like I can't get it out, I can't talk about it. And I would say, yeah, talk about it with the Lord. You know, we call that prayer. See, conflict between believers is like a fire, and gossip is the wood. When we continue to gossip, it's like we're stacking wood on this fire, that if we're not careful, we keep stacking more and more wood, and as soon as that spark hits, okay, we have an out-of-control fire. God's people need to bring water to the fire. The other place I would say be concerned and watch what you do is in your prayer request, right? Watch your prayer request gossip, okay? Wives, be careful, okay? Please pray for my husband. He's a real fill in the blank. Husbands, please pray for my wife. She's acting like a real fill in the blank. You say, that wasn't gossip. That's my prayer request. No, that's just a gossip request. You're just tricky. Some of y'all are probably just flipping over your connection cards and scratching out what you wrote, but that's okay. Watch your mouth. Paul says, watch your mouth. Let each one of you speak truth with his neighbor. Number two is this. He says, watch your emotions. Watch your emotions. Verse 26 says, be angry and do not sin. Yeah, it says be angry. It's not a typo there. It's it's Paul's words to us. He says, be angry and do not sin. You see, not all sin is anger. We look at the life of Jesus. Okay, did Jesus get angry? Yeah, Jesus got angry, but did he ever sin? No. You look at the Old Testament, right? He says, God, our God is slow to anger, right? That it takes a lot to make God angry, but it doesn't say that he's not ever angry. No. The anger is a real thing, but it's when it's combined with sin, then we get into problems. He says, watch your emotions. Think about this. Do you secretly celebrate others' misfortunes? Do you secretly celebrate others' misfortunes? Do you get happy when bad stuff happens to other people? Like our friends, if they bought that house, okay, and all of a sudden their basement flooded because a pipe burst, okay, secretly, do I get happy because that's happened to them and I didn't have that, right? Do you get happy at others' misfortunes? Watch your emotions. Do you easily see the bad in others? watch your emotions. Number three is this, is to watch your clock. To watch your clock. The end of verse 26 says, do not let the sun go down on your anger. See, Paul warns us to watch our clock, not to let too much time go by. When something happens, don't say, I'll just deal with it later, or let it slide. He would say, deal with it now. Don't let the sun go down, because this is what happens, and maybe you've encountered this before, that you say, I'll just deal with it later, and just days go by, maybe. Then maybe weeks go by, and it's not dealt with, and then maybe it's months. And then years down the road, you explode because something has happened with that person in that relationship, and you address the bitterness with them, and they don't ever remember what you're talking about because it wasn't dealt with soon. Watch your clock. Deal with it soon. Don't let the sun go down on your anger. Verse 31 says this, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you, along with all malice. I went to Georgia Southern University. I graduated there with a degree, you can go ahead and laugh, in recreation management. I had an emphasis in outdoor education. And part of what we did is we spent time, we called it hiking. Some of you might call it wandering around in the woods. And when we did this, we had to start fires, right, to keep warm, and just part of the classes to be able to teach that. And my favorite way to start a fire, or one of them, while we're in the woods, was to use something called a magnesium fire starter. And what it was this little block, and you took out your pocket knife, and you would start to whittle away some of this block. It was the magnesium side of it. And you would take those shavings, and you'd put it into your fire starter. Maybe it was just some dried grass or something like that that was able to catch fire real easily. And so you had that magnesium, and the magnesium was really flammable. And then you would take your other side of your magnesium fire starter, flip it over, and you would strike your knife against the top of it, which had a piece of flint on it. And when you did that, it created a spark. And what you would try to do is catch that spark into your fire starter. And after you had caught that spark into it, then you would begin to blow into it until it became the fire that you needed it to be. See, bitterness is the spark of the fire. Bitterness is the spark of the fire. And as Paul says here, let all bitterness, and he said the wrath. And when we have wrath, it's just like a breath into that fire, right? So we have bitterness, it's the spark, and then we have wrath, and it's just a breath into it. And we have anger, it's just another breath. We have clamor, it's a breath into the fire. We have slander, it's another breath. And then we get to malice, and it's just another breath. And now we have a fire that is out of control. See, bitterness is the spark of the fire. See, the author of Ephesians is Paul, and a lot of us know that. But here's something for us to remember, just to be reminded of, that Paul writes this from prison. Right, he's been thrown in prison because he's started to live for Jesus. Right, he's out preaching and sharing and loving people, and he gets thrown in jail. And the truth is that out of most people in the Bible, Paul probably had the biggest excuse to be bitter. Right, he wasn't married. He was a single guy, wasn't married. He didn't have a home. He was thrown in prison a lot. Okay, he was beaten up a lot, and it kind of went in that cycle: beaten up, thrown in prison, beaten up, thrown in prison. Didn't get married, didn't have a home because he was in prison, right? And Paul could have been really bitter, but this is what he writes to us as an encouragement. This is what he writes to the people of Ephesus as an encouragement. He writes this, be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another as God in Christ forgave you. See, Paul writes that to us from prison as a reminder. See, it's not an old book. The Bible isn't an old book. Even though it's written 2,000 years ago, this part of Scripture here is written over 2,000 years ago. It's not old. It's timeless, though. It's a timeless book that even can speak to us today. It's not an old book. It's a timeless book. And God's Word is always timely. So, we've come up with some ways that we become bitter, and that maybe we've recognized that we are bitter people. And so what do we do? What do we do? I'm going to come back to the bottom line of what we're talking about today. And the first part was that hurt people. But here's the second part for you, is that forgiven people forgive. is that hurt people, but forgiven people forgive. Paul writes, be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, as God in Christ forgave you. And you might be thinking, that's it? That's the cure to bitterness, is to forgive? You say, I have to forgive them? That's the water on the fire, is forgiveness? You might say, they don't deserve it. You don't know what they did to me, how they hurt me. They don't deserve it. Well, the truth is this, is that neither do you. Neither do you. And that's the gospel, Mountain West. That's the gospel. That's what we're talking about, is that that Christ has forgiven us, that God has forgiven us through Jesus, and that we're to forgive others. You see, the me I want to be is forgiven. Forgiven people forgive. So if that's the cure, if that's the shovel, if that's the water on the fire, here are three things forgiveness is for us this morning. Three things forgiveness is. Forgiveness is canceling a debt owed to you. Forgiveness is canceling a debt owed to you. Sound familiar? And I think this is done best face-to-face, right? In today's day with texting and emails and Facebook messages, it's really easy to say you're sorry for something, but to really sit down face-to-face with someone is so much more important. Forgiveness is done best face-to-face, sitting down, having a conversation with someone. Canceling a debt owed to you. Second thing is this, is forgiveness is an ongoing process. Forgiveness is an ongoing process. In Jesus' day, the disciples asked a rabbi, he said, how often should we forgive somebody? And the answer of the time would have been two or three people, right? They go to Jesus and they ask, how often should I forgive my enemy? Jesus said what? 70 times seven. You see, Jesus didn't care really about the math. It just means a lot. He didn't really care about the actual number. He said, keep forgiving. Keep forgiving. See, forgiveness is an ongoing process. The third thing is this, is wanting good for your offender. Forgiveness is wanting good for your offender. See, you know you've ultimately forgiven them when your hope for them is that their future is better than their past. That somewhere down the road, or even shortly down the road, that they come into a relationship to know Jesus. Maybe that they become a Christian, or that the relationship was healed for them. That what was in their past and what is in their future is better than their past. Wanting good for your offender. So here's a question for you as we begin to wrap up. Who do you need to forgive? Who do you need to forgive? Because forgiven people forgive. We used to do this when I was a camp counselor in college. We used to sit around at the end of each night and we used to ask the kids in a circle, what was your high and what was your low of the day? And I think there's nothing wrong with that. If you do that with your family, I think it's a great conversation to have around the table at dinner time or to have in your family circles. But I think if we're not careful, we can start to develop a root or start to develop a spark of bitterness in our family by saying, what is the high of my day and what is the low of my day? And instead, maybe we should think about it like this. What is the high of the day, and where is a point in my life today where I need to ask for forgiveness? What's the high of my day, and where can I ask for forgiveness today? See, who needs to forgive you? Who have you sinned against? Whose mind did your face come into when I asked that question earlier? Who needs to forgive you? See, the truth is this, is that maybe you need to even forgive yourself today. And we say it and you hear it a lot, but the life is just too short to go on living with a bitter spirit. See, hurt people, but forgiven people forgive. See, the ultimate reason we should forgive is not because this is a place of good morals, of how to live a better you. The ultimate reason we forgive is because of Jesus, of what he did for us, because of God's love for us and what Jesus did on the cross for us to pay our debt for us to be forgiven. You see, if we're willing to accept Jesus' forgiveness but not forgive others, then we're just hypocrites. See, Jesus dies for us so that we can be forgiven and so that we can forgive other people. So in just a minute, we'll have some prayer partners like we do, a time of prayer up front. But it'd be really holy of me to think that, you know, hundreds of people would come forward this morning and receive prayer and ask for forgiveness and ask for forgiveness with other people. And the truth is, that would be great. And please, if you need prayer this morning, please come forward and do so. But this would be my encouragement to you. Some of us in here today need to forgive people. So maybe that means stepping outside into the hall and making a phone call to set up a face-to-face meeting. Maybe that means to send a text message to somebody and to arrange a meeting. Maybe it means even just to get out and walk out the back doors, get in your car and drive over to someone's house and have a conversation about how you need to forgive them. Because bitterness is the spark of the fire, and it's the root that we need to dig out with a shovel. See, we need to put out the spark. Hurt people, but forgiven people, forgive. You guys pray with me.